We're gonna study together and just have some fun and just listen to the Spirit. You got your spiritual ears open tonight. I believe God can, if He can speak through a donkey, I believe He can even speak through me and through any of us in this room. And so this evening we're going to be listening to Him. Tonight I want to talk about something that I'm calling the gateways of life. I was in prayer the other morning, a couple of days ago, and all of a sudden I realized it was almost Wednesday. And I had no idea what I was going to speak about. And I was just floating along and being happy in the Lord. And all of a sudden realized, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do on Wednesday. And as I was praying, the Lord just began to whisper something into my heart, and then as I began to meditate on it and pray, I sat down at my computer. I said, okay, I heard what you said. Now, what do you want me to say about this? And as I asked that question, the Lord just began to unload some things to me, and I just typed them down as I heard them. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight. But it's something called the gateways of life. Gates have important implications in the Bible. When you think about ancient cities, or you read about ancient cities in history, in the book of the Bible, the book of the Lord that we read so often, you read a lot about gates in the Bible. And gates were very important in ancient cities. It was at the city gates that the elders of a town would often congregate. They would gather at the city gates, and they would be there to be able to preside over any business that needed to be transacted by people in the city, any decisions that needed to be made. Elders would gather at the gates, and they would preside over decisions, transfers of land, business transactions, disagreements between people, covenants between people, things that had a direct effect upon the lives of the people that lived in the city. And the gates of a city were just so important. They were also places that travelers and buyers and sellers would come in, and they would go out, and new things would come into a city through the gates. New ideas, new thoughts, new goods and new services. It was also a place where things that were deemed to be unhealthy or inappropriate or illegal were expelled through the gates of those the city and sent out. Another thing about gates is they were often the most vulnerable place in an ancient city to enemy attack. They were usually very heavily guarded because of that vulnerability. And even when there was no perceivable threat by an enemy and the gates were open for daily business, often guards stood at those gates and they would watch the people that were coming and the people that were going, constantly on the lookout to see if there was some enemy who was trying to come in by stealth, come in undercover, sneak in, and cause some type of disturbance or uprising in the city. And the reason that I'm talking about this tonight and want to share that with you is this. God has created us with gates in our lives. We have gates in our lives. You and I both have primary entry points through which things come into our life and take residence. Good things come in through those gates. Bad things try to enter into our lives through those gates. And just like the leaders of an ancient city understood the importance of the gates in their town, we have to realize the importance of these gateways in our lives. Important decisions are made in these gates in our lives. Things are allowed in through those gates that have access to our mind and to our heart. Or things are repelled at those gates that are considered harmful to us, or that can damage us spiritually or emotionally or physically. The decisions made at the gates of our life determine are often determined, I ought to say, our legal right to operate in the Spirit. Decisions that we make at the gateways of our lives can determine our legal, and when I say that, our ability to stand up under the Holy Spirit and see Him work on our behalf by what comes in and out of those gates. And the Bible tells us that God has established guards. Everybody say guards. Guards. God has established guards at the gates of our life. And those guards are to watch for the enemy's attacks. And those attacks come in a couple of different ways. Like I said, sometimes they'll come by stealth. And those guards are watching at the gateways of our life, looking to see if an enemy is coming in disguise or as an imposter or coming in undercover dressed as something that may look good but is actually working against us. Those guards are also watching the gates of our life to guard against the enemy storming the gates, where he comes in a rush. He just comes in like a flood, trying to just push through those gates by sheer force and force alone. Now shortly, and here in a few minutes, and maybe over the next week or two, we'll discuss what those gates are. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about what the enemy's after. And this is probably not going to be a huge revelation to everybody, but it's something that each and every one of us need to continually be reminded of by God. If you're going to attack a city, if you were a king and you were coming against a city and you wanted to overthrow this city, then you realize that if you're going to accomplish your goal of overthrowing a city, you're going to have to overthrow the existing authority structure in that city. If you're going to overthrow that city and take it over, you're going to have to be able to take down, overthrow, overrule the existing authority structure in that city. And to take that control, those who are in charge of the city that you're attacking are going to have to capitulate. They're going to have to be overcome in some form or fashion by the attacks of the enemy, by your attacks against the city. And with this goal in mind, the enemy, when he's about to attack a city, he surveys that city. They call it reconnaissance. You go around that place that you're wanting to overthrow, and you look at it and you study it for weak points, and you try to find places that are easy to enter, places where the guard is light or weak or sleeping. And you're looking for a way, the easiest way in to that place. And when the enemy walks around our life, the enemy of our soul, and he's surveying our life, then one of the quickest ways into our life is usually through these gates that I'm going to be talking about, through these gateways into our life. And he realizes that is the way in. And when he gets into those gateways, he can begin to get into a position to begin to attack the very seat where the authority structure resides in our life. Does that make sense so far? Okay, and you have gateways into your life. There are places where things come and go in your life. Okay, so what is the authority structure that the enemy is after in our lives? Well, your heart is what the enemy's after. He's after your heart. He seeks to enter through these gates that we'll talk about, to get into them either by stealth or by storm, as I said earlier, with the intent being to dominate your mind. All right, the first thing he wants to do is he wants to come in through the gates and establish a stronghold of some sort in your mind, an argument in your mind, you could say, something, a foothold in which he can begin to speak into your life at a very primal level, speaking into your motivations, speaking into your desires and speaking into other, just into your being as a whole. And he's looking to get and to dominate your mind and eventually, through speaking into your mind, be able to overthrow the authority structure that's ruling in your heart. He has to really get you in agreement. Do you understand what I mean? When you're a believer, the enemy doesn't have any authority over you. He has no authority over you other than that which you abdicate to him, that which you give him, okay, to operate in your life, to take control in your life is what I'm talking about. So what he has to do is he has to have your agreement to operate in your life. And he wants to come through these gates, and once he's in these gates and has established an entryway through these gates, his whole plan is to get into your mind and begin to speak into your mind in such a way through deception. Of course, it's always deception. Through deception, temptation, and whatever other thing, to get you to come into agreement with what he's saying, with the intent being that he wants to come in and try to kick the Lord out of his place of authority in your life. He doesn't mind if you walk around continuing to call Jesus Savior. He really doesn't even mind if you continue to walk around and call him Lord. But he wants to take authority over your real day-by-day living actions and decisions. Regardless of who, what you say the authority structure is, he wants control over the actual system that makes decisions and goes about and lives a life on a day-by-day basis. That's what he's after. Jesus himself said, there will be many who will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And you know what the interesting response of the Lord was, is he said, there will be, to many of those, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. You are a foreigner to me. There is a different king that sits on your throne of your heart than me. I am not the authority, the ruling authority in your life. There is a different authority structure that is dictating your actions and your life and your beliefs. You know, you say, well, how can you lay hands on the sick and they recover? Well, do you know what? God cares about the person you're laying hands on too. And the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And you know what? Until God himself puts some kind of stop on the flow of those gifts, they can flow. They can flow through a rebellious vessel. Moses struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. And what happened? The water flowed out. God knew the children of Israel needed water. And Moses was the identified leader at that time. So God moved on behalf of the people through the identified leader, and then later on God dealt with the identified leader. But he was still going to meet the need of his people. And we have to understand that those things can happen, and God can respond. I can lay hands on Gene. I could be in rebellion, lay hands on Gene, and God could heal him. And that's not necessarily any validation that Jesus is in absolute authority over my life. I mean, it could be just God's response in love to Gene. It could be that the gifts and callings of God are flowing through my life or have not yet been, God have not yet got to the place where God says, stop the flow. He still may be dealing with me. And you know, in every city, let's go back to cities for a second. In every city, there are rogue elements. No perfect cities. Every city has disgruntles in it. Every city has unhappy people in it. Every city has unlawful people that live in it. And the enemy of our souls will also seek to enlist the assistance of the rogue elements in our life to accomplish his purpose. You say, what kind of rogue elements are you talking about, Pastor Parkey? Well, things like your flesh, things like unhealed wounds in our life. He'll try to enlist those things to accomplish his purpose. Things like your experiences. He'll try to come to you and enlist your experiences at times to get you to come into agreement with him so that he can attack the authority structure that's in your life. So the enemy is after God's authority. Now we know as believers who sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives, don't we? And who is that? That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He rules from the throne room of our heart. So the enemy's after that authority that Jesus has in your life. He's after it. And he will come to overthrow that authority. Now you got to remember, he can't just get Jesus and kick him off his throne. He doesn't have the power to be able to do that. He tried that once, utterly failed. He has to have your capitulation. He has to have your agreement to establish a new authority in your life. Does that make sense?
That's right.
All right. Okay. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 in the NIV, it says this: above all else, what does it say? Guard your what? Your heart. Guard your heart. Now, that's not just saying the Holy Spirit's going to guard our heart. It gives a direction to who? To us. It tells us that we need to guard our heart. For it is the wellspring of life. One translation says this: for everything you do flows from the heart. The motivation behind everything you do flows from the heart. Jeremiah said that without God in being Lord over your heart, the heart is deceptive above all things. That, you know what that means? That literally means that the heart can be the biggest liar in the world. The heart that's not underneath God's authority is the biggest liar. It can lie to you about things. And Satan wants to come in to take control of that heart, because out of that heart comes our destiny. Our destiny flows out of what happens in our heart. Okay. Now, what are the gates of your life that the enemy tries to enter into? I'm probably only going to talk about one tonight because I don't want to get this diluted. What are the gates through which the enemy tries to enter into your life to establish a stronghold in your mind to attack the authority of your heart and to overthrow it? The first one is your vision. Your vision. It's through the eyes that we understand so much about life. You know, I was thinking about this. Through the eyes, we determine depth. We determine length. We determine width. We determine height. And when you think about that in reference to our lives, let's say it in this way. In other words, through our eyes, we evaluate our circumstances. We evaluate how far down we are. We evaluate how far away we are. We evaluate how high we are. And we evaluate how much more we have to cross to get to where we want to go. And these type of evaluations are made through the eyes, and they're critical to our faith, because it is through these evaluations that we make a determination. I'm not talking about God, but through which we make a determination as to how far we can go or what is possible in our lives. Through our eyes, oftentimes. It's one of the ways, not the only way, but it's one of the ways we make an evaluation. Is everybody with me so far? Where we are and how far we can go and what is possible is made through that gateway. God uses vision in our lives. He uses vision to reveal to us who we are. He uses vision to reveal to us where we are. And he uses vision to reveal where he is taking us. There, in God's word translation, I like this translation, in Proverbs 28:19. It says, without prophetic vision, people run wild. In some translations, it says they cast off restraint. In some translations, it says, without vision, my people perish. Okay? But literally, in the actual translation, that really means that people lose focus. Without prophetic vision, they lose focus. He says, but blessed are those who follow God's teachings. Blessed are those who follow God's teachings. Now, Satan is hard at work to corrupt your vision. He's hard at work. You realize that? He is working very hard to corrupt your vision. He attacks the Word of God in your life through what you can see around you. And if he can get you to doubt God's Word, then you're open to adapting a new authority structure and to alter your future. Let's think about Adam and Eve for just a second. The serpent came to Eve in the garden, and he began to talk to her about vision. He began to ask her some questions about what God had said. Are you able to eat of every, what didn't God say? You can't. You know, you can't eat of any fruit of the tree of the garden or whatever. And he already began to distort. She goes, well, we can eat of any fruit of the tree of the garden except the one that's in the middle of the garden. We can't eat of that. We can't even touch it. And I think that's a husband's instructions, because God didn't really say you couldn't touch it. But I think that was probably Adam's instructions to her, saying this, just don't even touch it. Just don't go around it. Don't even touch it. And he began to tell her, he said, well, what God told you is not true. He said, because God is trying to cover up the fact that if you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened. Your vision is going to be affected. You're going to be able to see things that you cannot see now. And you're going to be able to know things that you cannot know now. You're going to have experiences through this action that are going to be beneficial to you in some form or fashion. Okay? Your vision's going to be affected. Satan's attacking the vision in their life. All right? So then guess what? She looks with her eyes at the temptation. It looks good. It looks like it would be beneficial. It looks like something that would profit her. And so she eats some of the fruit and gives some to her husband, who could have been standing right there listening to the whole thing. We don't know. It could have been. And they both eat. And the Bible says, then their eyes were opened. Or you know what? But it wasn't opened in a good way. Then their vision from God became corrupted. It became corrupted. And it affected their destiny. It affected their destiny in a negative way. And that's exactly what Satan is doing to us, is trying to attack us through our eyes and through our vision. It's through the eyes that Satan tells you how far away you are from the fulfillment of God's vision. It's through the eyes that he shows you how deep in a pit you live. Look around you. Look around you. Isn't that what he tells you? I don't care what God said to you. Look around you. Isn't that what he says? Look. Take a look. Look at things. Make an evaluation with your eyes. This isn't happening. You still live at that same house. You still struggle to pay your bills. You still this, you still that. Look around you. Look around you. And he is using those gateways into our life, our vision, to try to corrupt the vision that God has for our lives. It's through the eyes that he regales you with how high you are. Look how high you've ascended. Look at all the people that are below you look how wonderful you are. And it's also through the eyes that Satan enlists the rogue elements of your life to assist in his deceptions. Now, I'm going to talk about some things for a minute that aren't real popular, and a lot of people think they're legalistic, and they're certainly not meant to be legalistic. But if you ignore them completely, then you will have problems. Okay? It's through the eyes that Satan brings temptations. Job said one time, he said that he had made a covenant with his eyes. He had made a covenant with his eyes. What was that covenant that he had made with his eyes? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I won't look on a maid. I won't look on another woman that's not my wife. I won't look it on her, because he realized that gateway of his life needed to be guarded. I can remember when I was first born again, and man, when I first got saved, I was a mess with a capital M and a capital E and a capital S and a capital S. I mean, God didn't get anything when he got me in the kingdom. You know what I mean? I mean, he just got a bunch of problems he had to work out, but they were nothing to him. But one thing about it, when I got saved, I got saved. And man, was I in love with the Lord. Well, at our church, and Pastor Bob was there during that time, one of the things that all new believers did, and people that were brand new in the Lord, they got into a class called Finding the Rock. And so I got into the class Finding the Rock. And I was in there with several other people, had a good teacher, learning in the Lord, growing. Some of the things that I heard there rang a bell from many, many years ago, and a lot of it was brand new revelation, because I'd been raised in a Christian house enough to be able to hear some things here and then and be able to know some of the jargon. But in that class, there was a girl in that class, and she was, at that point in time, let me be sure I say that, she was at that point in time what my taste was in women. Okay? At that point in time. Satan fashions a deception for every step you're on. She was dark-headed like my wife, but she had blue eyes. I mean, striking. Beautiful girl. And I, at that point in time, was separated. I got saved in a separated condition from my first wife. And that's when I was born again. We were separated. The minute that I got saved, I began to read the Bible. And from the Bible, I began to understand that God wanted me to be married, and he wanted my marriage healed. Now, my wife and I, God had already solved one of the huge problems in my situation, which was me. But he had one more, which was my ex-wife at that point in time, that who was still out there and still doing things. And so the Lord, I read the book of Malachi. There it was, right there. I said, oh, Lord, I can see. And I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. So I began to pray for my marriage. And there was this girl, and after the class, she would talk to me. She knew I had a daughter. I had my oldest daughter now, who has her own kids, was very young at that point in time. She was 2 years old. That shows you how long ago that was. But she was two. And she began to talk to me after class. And I would look at her and you know, all this, you know, looking. You know what I'm saying? You look. And through the gateways of your eyes, information is coming and going. And there were a lot of information coming and going through my eyes. There were some other things going on in my life as well. I was lonely. I was by myself. I was battling with insecurity over my wife having left and things happening and that. And so all of those things were going on. And I tell you that Satan will try to enlist the rogue elements in your life to come into agreement with him. And so he was talking to the rogue elements in my life and using the gateway of my life. Not just one of them, just the one we're talking about tonight, but he was also using the other one that we'll talk about again next Wednesday to come into my life and try to get entry. Okay? And one day, she told me, she said, listen, she said, why don't you and your daughter come over to my apartment and I'll fix y'all dinner? I said, hey, this is sounding good. Thank you, God. But there was a problem. The problem was, through the word of God, that was not allowed. I was married. Saying, well, your wife. And she was off living with another guy then. So let me ask you a question. The day before your wedding, are you married or single? Oh, really, I'm asking y'all a question. The day before your wedding, are you married or single? Oh, come on. This is not that hard of a question. All right, let me ask you. The day before your wedding, are you married or are you single?
Single.
Okay. What are you the day before you're divorced? Married or single? Well, most people don't act that way. And, you know, why? Well, because emotional divorce takes place long before actual divorce does. But God never told us to act on emotion. He told us to act on His Word. Right? And so I wanted God's favor in my life. I had had enough of the other thing. And I wanted God's favor. But boy, I just, Lord, is there a way? I'm like Jesus in the garden. Lord, sweating great drops of blood. No, not really. Great drops of lust. Lord, is there any way that this could be within your will? Maybe something's happening here I'm not aware of. Through my eyes, the enemy was trying to enter in, and through another gateway as well. And I could just hear the Lord saying, you know my word. You know my word. You know my word. And so I told her, I said, I'm sorry. Excuse me a minute. Then I came back. No. I said, and I'm sorry, I just can't do that. I'm so sorry. Well, later I found out from a friend, a dear friend, a woman who prayed with her who prayed for a prayer request that she had at a ladies' conference, that she had three or four guys that were coming over to her apartment and fixing dinner for, if you understand what I'm saying. And so, regardless, I mean, God saved me out of a huge, wasn't Parky. It was God saved me out of a huge thing. Now, I had to come into agreement as to who was going to rule authority in my life at that point in time. I had to come into agreement with that. I had to say yes to that. But through that gateway, through those gateways in my life, Satan came through those gates and trying to establish a stronghold in my mind, an argument against God's word, to come in and try to overthrow, by my capitulation, the authority structure in my life, in my heart. And praise God, I did not do that. But I'm going to tell you guys and girls something. You better guard your eyes. All right? Because Satan is going to parade eye candy in front of you. And man, when you're on that internet now, it'll do it for you. You don't even have to go looking for it. It'll come searching you out. Those internet sites, they look at your preferences. They try to figure out if you're a male or a female by what you're looking at. They try to figure out your age and who you are, you know, what station in life you are, about the websites you're looking at. And then, man, they'll send something to you. They'll send it straight to your inbox. You don't even have to go looking for it. It'll come straight to you. And you think looking is not a big deal. And that's Satan's mantra. That's his stealth mantra. That's how he comes by stealth and sells you something that's not right. It's no big deal. It's not going to have any long-term effect. Past today. Unfortunately, that's not true. It's a lie. Because once it gets inside of us, once we let it in the gates, and it gets inside, those pictures are in our mind for him to re-show us those pictures even when we're not looking at them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Through memory. And all that does is birth a desire in you for you to go back and look again and again and again. I always say, I don't want to see it the first time. I know how this game is played. I know that once I get a picture in my mind, that picture is there, and God can help me. But I'm going to tell you, after it gets there, it's going to be a battle for a season. I've learned how this game is played. I know how that works. And so you guys need to, and ladies, need to put guards at your eyes and don't excuse things and say they're no big deal. And don't look at your life and your situation and say, look, I don't want to be legalistic. Don't want to be legalistic. This is ridiculous. God is not a legalistic God. Satan will be very legalistic or very anti-legalism, depending. He'll flip to either one of those congregations depending upon how he thinks he can get you trapped. He's the ultimate church hopper. He'll hop around to join anything that he thinks will get you to fall. Any way to get through the gates of your life, the gateways of your life. Watch what you watch. Another thing is, and once again, this may sound legalistic, but what you watch on TV and the movies you go see, you need to be careful, because the long term, once again, pictures that you get in your mind are hard to erase. You can go to a horror movie, a slasher movie, you can see those kind of things, and then the next thing you know, you're struggling at home. You're double locking the door. You're worried about the windows. You're all this other kind of stuff. Why? Because through the gates of your eyes, a spirit of fear was able to speak into you and defy. And here's the voice. It's defying God's ability to take care of you. That's what it's saying. It's attacking the authority structure of God in your life. You are not safe. God says, I am. You are not safe. And that's what it's saying. It's attacking the Word of God in your life. You can see other things. And you know what? You can go to movies where there's just a lot of gratuitous violence, very gratuitous, and a lot of gratuitous language, and a lot of gratuitous sex. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to duplicate what you've seen. I understand that. I really do. But you know what is happening is Satan is desensitizing us to the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what his goal is to do in those situations. Desensitizing us to the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. To get us to the place when something happens that as children of God we should be outraged about. That God is angry about, and God does get angry about some things. When people are being abused and misused and destroyed and hurt and his glory is being trampled on, he gets angry about those things. But what happens is because we have so allowed these things to come in through the gates of our lives, we're completely desensitized to it. And so therefore, when it happens, we just say, well, it's inevitable. Well, that's part of life. Well, it's no big deal. Well, we can't do anything about it. And you know what? Because we're buying into the messages that we have watched, which have said that's just a part of life. We don't like it, but that's just the way that it is. And so therefore, things begin to happen in our country that we should be standing up for and speaking on behalf of in love. And we just stand by and watch them roll through. Roll through the city streets. And then the next thing you know, something major happens and we go, oh my God, how did this happen? How did we get this far? Well, we got this far because we got desensitized and everything started happening a little bit of a time at time, and we just were so much into our own comfort. I like watching that. I want to do that. I enjoy that. That's just something I like doing. And we got so desensitized and so to the place where we're so used to placating our own desires and excusing that, that the enemy is able to roll down the block in a Panzer. He's rolling down the block in the Panzer before we actually get upset. And by then, it's nine to too late. Does that make any sense? I don't care if it does or doesn't. No, his goal is not necessarily to get you to duplicate what you're watching on TV, just to desensitize you, just to get you apathetic, just to get you selfish, just selfish enough to where you just sit back and, well, you know, I really probably ought to do something about this problem, but man, that's going to require time. You know, I ought to probably be down there praying. But you know, that's so much effort to do that. And I just like to placate myself. I'm not lost. You're not, but I just like to placate myself. I'm just used to feeding my own flesh. And we become desensitized to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It says, this is an urgent hour. We become desensitized to the trumpet call of God calling his people together. And we may hear it, but we don't respond to it. The problem is not that we don't hear it, we just don't respond to it. And I know this is getting into where you live, but if it doesn't get into where you live, it ain't worth to even be talked about. God will get into where you live. He will. If I see you coming out of Jason 65 down at the movie theater, you don't have to duck your head. Okay? I'm not your judge. But God, remember this, okay? Whatever we allow into our lives that on a consistent basis. And we remember, when you're watching those things, when you first start watching them, you have to excuse the conviction that you feel, don't you? Don't you start, you feel conviction, and then you have to kind of shut up, conviction. I'm going to keep on watching. Isn't that what you kind of have to do? And pretty soon, guess what? You can barely hear that voice or not hear it at all. Isn't that kind of the way it happens? And you can barely hear. What's that? Yeah, it's probably not good, but you know, every good movie, now, if you want to see a good movie, they all got it in there. I mean, what are you going to do? Why aren't you ever supposed to watch a movie? Now, I understand. My wife and I, right now, we don't go to any R-rated movies. PG-13 can be as bad. That's one of the hardest ones to know what you're actually going to see. It's the widest range of, I mean, sometimes you can see some PG-13s that are as bad as an R. And you just don't know. But just remember, and I'm not telling you to be legalistic, but just remember, every time you have to step on your convictions to keep doing something, you are searing your conscience with a hot iron. Okay, you're making yourself less sensitive to that voice. That was one of the big things that kept me obeying. I started learning this when I was a new believer. But brothers and sisters, the older we get in the Lord, sometimes the easier it is for us to excuse things. Well, I'm too strong to be tricked by that now. I can go do those kind of things, and that won't even affect me because I'm too strong now. I know too much. And that's part of the deception. When you say you know too much, you're already under deception. Okay? If you know so much you're excusing sin, you don't know. Now, please understand me. I am not trying to be your Holy Spirit. Right? Please, I'm not. Be sensitive to him. All right? Do what he tells you to do. And when he talks to you, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. And I was listening to Chandra talk the other day. She's not in here, and I don't think she'd mind me saying, but her and her daughter went and rented something to watch together at home. And they got it home, and they started watching it. And she told me, she said, we just had to turn it off, Pastor. She said, we couldn't watch it. She said, I mean, it was just, it was over the Holy Spirit line. It was just not good. Now, I love movies. I don't watch anything on TV, but sports movies and Duck Dynasty and HGTV under protest. Not under protest, silently as a husband who wants to share time with his wife and gets so sick of those remodel shows that I could throw up. I'm like, oh, no, not another one. God. House Hunters International, I'm cool with. I like to go on trips. You know, until two men are buying a house together, or two women, and then I'm like, you know, or two people that aren't married, and I'm just like, I get sick of seeing this on television. I'm sick of this. No wonder our country's in such a bad shape. And I'm not just judging other people. I feel for us, because I'm thinking one day the other shoe's going to drop. I can hear it being untied right now. And that's the things that draw me to prayer. And to get in there with God, number one, because if we are depending on ourselves to do this, we are of most people the most stupid. If we don't realize the shape, and I'm not talking about one leader, I'm talking about a plethora of leaders and judges. If we don't realize where our country is and with the direction that we're heading down, we brothers and sisters, we are in trouble. And we don't have some special dispensation from God. If Israel didn't, then who are we to think that America does? Yeah, that's right. A special dispensation to be removed from His judgment. If we are deceived to think that, and I truly think some Christians believe that, if Israel was not exempt from that, what pride and arrogance tries to tell us that we are? Okay, so we need to guard the gates of our life. It is through the gates that things try to come to overthrow the lordship of Jesus in our life. And it doesn't have to stop you. I wrote this down. This is what I heard the Lord whisper to me. Satan cannot send the believer to hell. And that's probably not even his goal with you. But he can corrupt your vision so that you're of no use to the kingdom of God. So that you'll stand by and watch him parade down the street to take over everything and say, Mildred, how did this happen? Well, it only can happen in the presence of the complacency of God's people. God, we know through the Bible, and then I'm done. We know through the Bible, and you teach this all the time, and I learned this in Rockwall, that God will respond to the honest, pure cry of his people. It doesn't, in a nation, it doesn't have to be everybody. If my people, Abraham said, what if there are just 10 there? Would you save the city on behalf of 10 righteous? The plea of a man who was a friend of God pleading with the pre-incarnate Christ, I believe, right there at that place, pleading with him. He says, if there's 10 there, I'll save it on behalf of 10. Because you asked, Abraham, because you sought my face, I'll do it for you. But instead, we don't even ask because we're too desensitized, because we're too busy placating our own desires, because we're allowing things in our gates that shouldn't be in. Things that we should be expelling at the gates. And it takes a lot of guts to be this way now. Well, I don't want to appear radical. There are radical elements out there. Satan has them. And this world needs a few radical people. Not people that stand on the street corner and scream and then don't live it. But people who are just willing to say, look, I love this country too much to support this. I just can't do it. And I love my Jesus. I just love him. And I have to take care of his temple. I have to take care of it. I have to take care of it. Today, I just spent a little time repenting before the Lord. Have you ever got to the place after a while where you felt like your heart was a little dull? Like you weren't really hearing? You were hearing some things, but they seemed like far off voices. Kind of knocking on the window somewhere trying to get in, and you're kind of ignoring them. And I repented and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for where I'm at. And immediately those voices that were dim, all of a sudden I began to hear them clear again and strong again. And so, brothers and sisters, guard the gate of your eyes. Everybody say, guard the gate of your eyes. Okay, because that's one of the points that Satan attacks to try to gain entry into our life. Let's end this on a positive note. That is positive, actually, but let's say this. God has a vision for each one of you in this room. A vision to do you good. You can read about the beauty of it in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you, not to harm you, to do you good, to give you hope in a future. God has a beautiful vision for you, but Satan wants to come in and corrupt it by getting you to come into agreement with things other than what God is showing you. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your beauty in our lives. I want to thank you for your kingdom in our lives. Father, I want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I want to be sensitive to your voice. Everybody, if that's your prayer, just ask God. Say, Lord, I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive. I want to be like Samuel. Even, Lord, to be able to hear you calling me. Lord, and hear you speaking to me. And I want to be a responder. Lord, I want to be a responder. I want to respond when I hear you speaking to me. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for allowing things into my life that are desensitizing me to the call of your Spirit, and the conviction of your Spirit. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Father, I put my faith in one thing, and that's the cleansing and forgiving power of your blood. And I also put my faith in your renewed call of the Spirit in my life, that I might hear you, that I might hear you clearly, and that I might have the courage to be able to obey, even when others that are with me in my party, wherever I go, may not do it. I will not judge them. That's not my job. But my job is to obey your voice. And Father, just help me to be able to do that. Lord, give me the strength and the courage. I thank you for giving me another opportunity. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Let's thank him for his blood. Thank you for your blood, Father. If it were not for your blood, I would be consumed by my own lusts. Father, but I thank you for the blood of Jesus, that you have destroyed the power of Satan to control me. And Father, I give my life again, fresh and anew, to the direction and the correction of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for saving my life in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Amen.